song's been on my heart for a while. Right after the tornadoes at my home church, they were walking through and looking at the sanctuary with all the debris and stuff all over the place, and they had the baby grand up there on the platform, and one of the young men came in and sat down at the piano, and it's on Facebook, and sang "Till the Storm Passes By," and it was literally in the remnants of what was left in that building, and just been thinking about storms, and you know, thinking about the storm that our country and globally that we're in right now with all this going on. And we'll be in Matthew chapter 8. The Lord changed my message this afternoon. The Lord's starting to make a habit of this. But it was at 1 o'clock this time instead of 2:30. A few weeks ago it was at 2:30 in the afternoon. It's a good thing I don't nap on Sunday afternoons. It's when the Lord seems to talk to me the most. Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8 will be in verses 23 through 25. And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples came to him, and awoke him, saying, "Lord, save us, we perish." And he said unto them, "Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith?" Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, "What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him?" Let's pray. Lord, as we come before you tonight, I want to thank you for this time we have together. I thank you once again, Lord, for your people that have gathered here tonight. And I ask you to use me on this Sunday night to be a blessing and an encouragement to your people today. In Jesus' name, amen. It says in verse 23, "And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him." And we'll stop right here for a moment. As you know in here, all of you, if you think that following God means that you will never encounter storms, then listen up. These were not men that were in rebellion. These were not men that were on the run from God. This was not a trial that was sent to them by God for their disobedience. They were godly men. They were in the right place at the right time, doing the right things, following the right person. Jesus knew that there was a man across the lake on the other side on the shore that was possessed with demons. And Jesus was about to stop up on his doorstep with his disciples. They were on their way even to be a part of something good, something miraculous, something that only God could do, the salvation of a soul. They were doing something for the Lord and with the Lord. But nonetheless, they find themselves in a storm. And probably thinking like you and I, how could all this be right in my life, yet this wrong is befalling me? Or this injustice, so we perceive at times. But I want you to know that just because you are in a storm does not mean you're being punished. But it does mean that God has brought you into a storm for a reason. And it is for your betterment. Now, I believe that God will use these current events for two things, just as he did here. He will remind his people that he is God and there is safety with him. And it will also bring some people around to seeking God's face. Now, I believe the maniac of Gadara saw the storm come just like that and then stop just like that. And as crazy as he was, he knew that something special had just happened. He was used to chains and fetters of men, man-made restraints, but he had just witnessed something greater than what any man could do, greater than the demons that were inside of him. So God used the storm for those reasons. In verse 24, "And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep." I want you to know this evening there's a storm brewing outside these walls right now. In every state of the Union, a storm is blowing globally. It is brewing, it is growing, and it has not peaked yet. And we would all agree that a storm is being made out of something that is perhaps fairly insignificant, but a storm is a storm. And you cannot deny the storm that we're facing right now. And I want us to be reminded tonight that God is wide awake. And God is not surprised by any of it. Verse 25, "And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. They frantically went to Jesus while his flesh was sleeping." His deity never slept. The God part of him was wide awake. They come down into the hull of the ship saying, Lord, save us, we perish. Essentially saying, Lord, we're going to die if you don't wake up and do something. We're going to die. And once again, he's about to step into the way, into the role of being a deliverer once again. Like we said this morning, he don't just deliver us from hell, but he delivers us from a whole lot. And he's getting ready to deliver his disciples from a life-threatening situation that he sent their way for those two reasons. In verse 26, it says, "And he saith unto them, Why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? And he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm." Why are you fearful? If any of you tonight are afraid because of current events, why are you fearful? We serve a deliverer. And if it be his will to deliver you and deliver me, he'll do just that. But if it's not his will, what will happen? Will happen. There's nothing we can do about it. And you know why? Partly for this right here is why they were rebuked for their lack of faith. Partly for this right here. They knew the Old Testament. They knew the prophecies. They knew the how. They knew the when. They knew the where of Christ's death. They knew his life would not end in a drowning incident while asleep on board with them. They knew a bloodless atonement would do nothing for us and for our sins. They also knew that God had a purpose when he said, "Follow me," and they did. God's purpose had not yet been fulfilled. So in their time of storm, their faith was challenged and they were exposed. And really what gave away their lack of faith was not perhaps going to God to begin with, perhaps not going to God quickly and matter-of-factly, but in fact they believed they were going to perish. And knowing that was not the plan, maybe God has given you a plan. Maybe God has given you a direction. But on that path, a storm is brewing. Now, I know people. I've known people in the ministry who went somewhere, went there in the ministry, and they get there, and they face a storm, and then they say, oh, God must not be in this, and then they're gone. They're gone. I know Christians that are like that. They'll commit to something, and then when a storm starts brewing, they're done. They're gone. Must not be God's will. They might commit to giving something, maybe commit their time to something. But once a storm starts brewing, then they're done. When God calls you to something, he calls you to the storms that are coming with what he's called you to. We can't jump ship over the storms. Stay focused on the plan and not the storm. Remember that you are in Christ. I forgot our testimony time tonight, but I'm going to keep rolling. There is safety and shelter in Him. And what did Christ do? He calmed it all. Verse 27, but the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey Him? I began to think about this. After all the disciples had seen, all the miracles that they had witnessed, we find them here after another miracle saying, they marveled, saying, what manner of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey Him? Just like the disciples, we know Him. We know what God is capable of. We've seen Him work before time and time again in our lives and in the lives of others. But when He shows up and performs another miracle, we also have the thought process of, what manner is He? We can't comprehend God either. God blows our mind when He shows up and He works it all out. The reason why is because there is nothing like Him. Nothing can be compared to Him. When we see Him work, we don't see this kind of work being performed anywhere else. And it blows our mind when God's power is on display in our lives. And when He does something that only He can do. And I've found that God works in those small percentages of things so that people know and they can't deny it as being anything else. Tumors just disappearing. That don't just happen. God does that. God heals people up. Something's there 1 week and gone for the next time. You can't explain that away. But the scientific community, they'll try and find every way they can to explain it. Can't explain it. That's God. And God works in those ways to where only He can get glory for it. Where only He can get credit for it. Jeremiah 10:6 says, for as much as there is none like unto Thee, O Lord, Thou art great and Thy name is great in might. None means none. And it's not even close to being someone. Jeremiah says, Thou art great. Thy name is great in might. Even the name of God is great in might. Jeremiah knew this. Psalm 86:8. Among the gods there is none like unto Thee, O Lord, neither are there any works like unto Thy works. Among the gods, little g. That means of the false gods out there. You think about the false gods that people create for themselves. Money, cars, houses, fame. You think about other false gods out there. Buddha, Muhammad, and Joseph Smith, and Mary. The sun, moon, and stars, and other planets. We could go on and on tonight, but there is none like God. There's none like unto Thee, it says. O Lord, neither are there any works like unto Thy works. So it also takes it a step further. Not only are they not like You, but their works are not like Your works either. All them fake gods are dead. The sun, moon, and stars have many purposes, but none outside of what God created them for and designed them for. They don't answer prayers. They don't heal the sick and lame and deaf, blind and dumb. They don't raise the dead. Only Christ has and can. All those other false gods, they have no mighty works. They were men such as us. If they lived at all, or they could have just been something carved. But if they did live, the best they could do was in their own power. True power is of God, Jehovah God. None of their works are likened unto His. Exodus 15:11. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? The answer is nobody. There's one thing that we can learn from those who knew God, from this Bible, and those that know God today that live amongst us, is that they have testified and will testify that there is nobody better than Him in name, deed, creed, character, holiness. There is nobody that will cause you to step back and marvel and say, what manner of man is this? Nobody but Jesus. And again tonight, the Lord has changed the message once again. He gave it to me, like I said, a little bit earlier this time. But I began to ponder. And the Lord began to stir in my heart something. When I think about the storm, and I think about the storm in society, when I think about the utter chaos that our nation and our world is in, I praise God that we as Christians were able to get away from it all this morning. We were able to come together. We were able to find shelter in the time of storm in God's house. Now, I don't want to cancel anything, but I'll cancel RU, ladies brunch, men's breakfast. I'll cancel all that stuff for our cancel church. If we're trying to limit exposure, I'll cancel all that for our cancel church. But if we end up having to cancel, that's what we got to do. I'm just saying, to limit exposure, there's some things that's going to get cut before church will. I'm thankful that we can find shelter in the time of storm. Thankful for that. I'm thankful that I hope the world knows there's a place that they can come when the storm is blowing. I think about Charles Spurgeon. Charles Spurgeon got saved in a church during a snowstorm. He was just trying to get out the storm. He was just trying to get out the storm. And there was a church. He heard some singing, went in, and got saved. Nobody invited him. Just trying to get out the storm. And out there, the storm is raging, and they need a place to go. And we're going to do everything we can to remain that place. We had a sweet spirit here this morning, which tells me that we know and we can feel the chaos out there right now. And to come in here and have a sweet spirit about us is truly unlike any other time that I've been here. Don't get me wrong, we have a great spirit here. But there's something about when everyone is here and they know they need to be here. And they're glad to be here. And they feel safe and comfortable here. And they know that Jesus is here. And they know that we live in Christ and that we are sheltered. And then we come into His house and we come into His presence. I didn't know which way the Lord wanted me to go with this. I just knew I had an idea. I was going to go with portraits of Christ. I was going to go with Noah's Ark. I was going to go how we're safe. I mean, there's all kinds of ways I could have went tonight, but the Lord told me to go with this. There's all kinds of ways. I was thinking about how they were safe in the ark. You know, as the water kept getting higher and higher and higher, you know, people were banging on the outside. I'm sure they were banging on the outside of the ark. Let me in. Let us in. Let us in. Let us in. No, God shut the door. And when God shuts the door, nobody's going to open it. But they were safe inside. And we're still safe in Christ today. No matter what goes on out there. I don't care what goes on out there. We are safe in Christ. Even if we die, we are safe in Christ. We're safe. We're in the hand of God. And just as God shut the door, nobody's going to open it. Nobody's going to pluck aside His hand either. No matter how bad things get out there. Psalm 104, enter into His gates with thanksgiving, into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. Thankful for church. Come in thankful. Come in and praise Him. Come in and bless His name. He's worthy. He's 100% worthy. There's just something about coming from a chaotic environment that makes going into a calm environment that much more soothing. You can't wait to leave work and get home because home is less chaotic. And like I've told Sarah, I've told her before, I said, I told her, this house is chaos sometimes, but it's my chaos. I leave the noise here and go home and there's noise, but that's my noise. But you can't wait to leave work because home's less chaotic. Home is welcoming. Home is inviting. You can block out all the noise if you choose. And I do believe that Christians across this world recognize the calming spirit of God today in their services. I'm going to be honest with you. We've been infiltrated with everything that's been going on this whole last week. Everything that's going on, we've been infiltrated with it. We've been reading it. We've been watching it. We've been studying it. And I wonder how many people have studied the news more than they've studied God. I reached out to several preachers today. Nearly all of them said there was a calm spirit in the house of God. I wanted to see, is what happened here this morning, did it just happen here? Did it just happen here? Why are we as Christians, most of us, not frantic right now? The Prince of Peace lives within us. If we are in fellowship with Him, we're going to be at peace. It was amazing to me that some of these other pastors had the same experience this morning. Last time they watched the news, they were frantic. People were frantic. People going crazy. The last time they went to the store, they could see the evidence of people that were panicked. They could see the evidence of people that were frantic. Trying to get out of the way of people in the store. People fighting in the store for stuff. And you come into the house of God and we can have a sense of unity. And we can have a sense of calmness because God is in control. And His Spirit moved through the place and it is a calming spirit. We turn to Him when this world turns to many other things. We rely on our faith in God that it will all work out. And by the way, Scripture says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. So if I'm following Him, it don't matter if I can see. He's seeing. The problem we get in sometimes is when we can't see, we think nobody's looking for us. No, you're following the one that's looking for you. The Holy Spirit is looking for you. And that's what we seek to do. We seek to follow Him. He's our eyes. He can see further than we can. With His vision comes knowledge. He knows what He's seeing. He knows where it's going to lead. He knows exactly what's going to happen before it ever happens. We don't. Even if we don't deem the situation to be favorable, remember also we have Romans 8:28. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. You love God this evening? Or are you called according to His purpose? If so, then all things, not just some of them, but all things will work together for the good. This is a promise. Don't lose sight of God in the storm. Don't lose sight of who knew the storm before it ever came and has the solution to the storm and how it's going to end. And don't waste the storm. You know, God brings a storm to us for a reason. It's not a pointless storm. It's not a storm to watch us squirm. Want to pull our hair out at times, or stress, or have anxiety. God don't send us storms for this reason. God sends us storms for our betterment. There is a reason why God has given us a storm. There's a reason why God has allowed all this mess that's going on right now globally. There's a reason why. Don't waste the storm. Because a maniac of Gadara may just be watching. And when he sees the power of God, he may just trust Christ as a Savior. And by the way, when the whole world is crazy and you got some sanity, that's something outside of you. That's something outside of you. It's going to point to God. People are going to ask, why is this guy sane? Even right now, a lot of conversations can be started with people and lead right into God based on what's going on. And we won't reach them if we remove the light from the world. Who's going to reach them? Whose peace are they going to see? I trust that you'll be encouraged today. The messages on revival, I believe the Lord changed them on purpose this morning because they were a lot more in depth, a lot more convicting. I know they're convicting because they were convicting to me. But sometimes the Lord says, I want you to go in and just encourage my people right now. You know, things are rough out there. It's heavy out there. It's dark out there. When they come in, just lift their spirits. Try and encourage them. We need that. We need a balance. We need encouragement. We need conviction. We need challenging. But it all has to be balanced. And I believe the Lord leads in that if we allow Him. I could have came in today with two revival messages and really laid it down on how our churches are in need of revival, but you feel like you were getting a physical whipping out in the world, and then you come in feel like you're getting a spiritual whipping from God, and it just wasn't God's plan today. Wasn't His plan. He wanted to be lifted up today. And He wanted His people to be reminded that though there's mess out there, He's still in control. And we need to look to Him. We need to have faith in Him. And He will deliver us. He will. It's not the end of the world. It's not. It's being painted that way, but it's not the end of the world. It's not. It's not the end of the world. We will be cautious. We'll proceed with caution, but it's not the end of the world. Let's pray. Lord, we come before You this evening and we thank You once again for this time in Your house. We thank You, Lord, for Your word. We thank You for the shelter that we have in You in the time of storm. And I thank You and praise You, Lord, for Your people that are here today. I ask You, Lord, to bless them. I ask You to keep them safe. You know I love them. You know I'm here for them. I just ask You, Lord, to be with them and care for them as I know You will, even in the times when I'm not able to be there. I just ask You, Lord, to be with Your people and encourage them and strengthen them. In Jesus' name, amen.